Ah, pregnancy. A time of such joy for some, such admiration for your body and excitement for what parenting will bring. But also for some, crippling anxiety, weird aches, pains and cravings, and the prospect that you actually have to give birth to this baby at some point. Pregnancy can be a really strange period of your life and can feel so different for so many people. Season 2 of Bun in the Oven is here to help you navigate this bonkers time, alongside me, Holly Grant, whilst I also navigate this bonkers time during my current second pregnancy. In this season of the podcast, I'm joined by experts in all areas of maternal and perinatal health in real time throughout this pregnancy to cover topics that mean you don't have to spend hours on Google down a rabbit hole with no real evidence-based answer at the end of it all. I've worked with thousands of women over the last 11 years, and specifically since launching the Bump Plan in 2020. I have heard everything and admitted everything, so don't worry, we cover the embarrassing, gross stuff that you're not sure you want to ask your best friend. See, this is the information you wish you knew before you even knew you needed it. I can't wait for you to join me on this journey as we work out what on earth we're doing together. Enjoy season 2. In today's episode of Bun in the Oven, your guest is me. I'll be talking you through everything you need to know about exercising safely in your first trimester. Now, over the last 11 years, I've worked with thousands, actually tens of thousands, of pregnant women around the world, both in my London studio and via my online pregnancy and postpartum fitness plan, the Bump Plan. I've heard every question you can possibly think of, every concern, every myth, and I'm so incredibly passionate about sharing the facts around active pregnancies, so that women feel empowered and motivated to move their bodies throughout this period. So in today's episode, I'll be talking you through the vast physical and mental health benefits to staying active during pregnancy, explain the current guidelines for physical activity from the Chief Medical Officer, discuss what to prioritise in the first trimester and how that can be affected by some of the most common pregnancy symptoms. Not only am I currently 12 weeks pregnant and have stayed active through both of my pregnancies, but I'm obsessed with learning and studying. I'm an advanced reformer and mat Pilates instructor, level 3 personal trainer, and pregnancy and postpartum corrective fitness specialist. I've taken many pre and postnatal qualifications over the years, and I'm obsessed with functional movement techniques. Pregnancy and parenting is tough, but we are tough too, and I want to give you all the information I've learned over the years that you might need to navigate this journey. So I hope this episode helps if you're currently in trimester 1 and wondering how to move your body safely during this time. Enjoy. And now, ahead of this episode, a few words from our sponsor. Given the theme of this podcast, I imagine that some of you are currently pregnant or planning a family. So many women I know just aren't sure how to move their body safely during this changing time, or they want to stay active but need someone to show them the way and hold their hand. That's where the Bump Plan Pregnancy comes in. The Bump Plan Pregnancy is a holistic prenatal fitness plan that allows you to work out with confidence at each trimester of your pregnancy. Founded by myself, Holly Grant, the Bump Plan Pregnancy has already helped over 25,000 pregnant women stay active safely and feel empowered throughout their pregnancies. Through its trimester-specific workouts, in which I'm always at the same stage of my pregnancy as you will be in yours, extensive education hub, discount hub, and growing Facebook community, you'll feel supported and part of a welcome community. Let me help you move safely through your pregnancy, maintain your fitness and strength, and enter parenthood strong and prepared for all the demands it poses. As a listener of Bun in the Oven, I'm offering you 20% per month off the cost of your monthly subscription to the Bump Plan, simply by entering the code BUN20 at checkout. To get started today, simply head to pilatespt.co.uk/the-bump-plan and enter the code BUN20 at checkout. That's BUN20 in lowercase to get 20% off the monthly cost of the Bump Plan Pregnancy. Join our community today and enter labour and motherhood strong, capable and prepared with the Bump Plan.
Hi everybody, so today is a bonus episode and it's with me, and so you'll have already heard my intro, but essentially over the last 11 years I've worked with lots and lots, thousands, maybe even tens of thousands of pregnant people and helped them stay active during their pregnancy. And I've heard so many questions, I've heard so many concerns, I've heard so many myths and misinformation over the years, and that's why I feel really passionately that we need to try to demystify staying active during pregnancy, because actually it's pretty straightforward and we really need to be encouraging women and giving them the tools to stay active throughout pregnancy safely and effectively. What I tend to find is that we have a whole generation of women who are really excited about fitness. It's part of their identity, it's part of their mental health package, it's how they get through their week, it's how they get through life. And then around the trying to conceive stage or around the early pregnancy stage, there then comes this slight confusion as to what can I, what can't I do? It feels when you're pregnant like you're constantly being told, do this, don't do this, don't touch that, don't eat this, make sure that you take this. And so it can get really confusing. And I think fitness is one of those things that we start to really panic about. And I know so many women stop exercising when they get pregnant. But actually, we know that there are so many benefits to staying active during pregnancy, which I'm going to talk about today. And there are only a few kind of small tweaks really that we need to be thinking about. So I'm going to be focusing mainly on the first trimester in this episode, and in future episodes I'll talk about the second trimester and the third trimester. Essentially, the guidelines for pregnancy are similar the whole way through. It's more that what we want to focus on and what we kind of want to prioritize or consider it in each trimester might vary. And that's kind of in line with how the bump plan works. We think about your workouts as changing and adapting as you go through pregnancy based on how you're feeling and what we should really be preparing for. So I'll be touching on that in this episode as well. But essentially, let's start off then with some of the kind of main concerns that people tend to voice to me when they get pregnant and they start thinking about what they can and can't do. Now, I think it's best to address the elephant in the room. In our first trimester, we are at a slightly higher risk of miscarriage. And if you've had a loss in the past, of course that is going to play quite heavily on your mind. And so I think in that first trimester, one of the main things that women are considering is, I don't want to do anything that's going to harm me or harm my baby. Now I know quite a few women who have heard a completely incorrect myth that there is some sort of link between exercise and miscarriage. And I want to get out there really early on that there is no evidence to suggest that there is any harm to you or your baby by exercising in line with the guidelines that I'm going to go through today. And there is no link between physical activity and miscarriage. So I just want to get that out the way so you can kind of clear that from your mind in that first trimester, although I know that can be easier said than done. So you found out that you're pregnant, maybe you were trying, maybe it was a surprise, whatever you'd like to call it. But let's be honest, most of us probably don't know that we're pregnant until at least kind of 4, 5, 6 weeks. So we're already well into that first trimester. Try not to worry about what you've been doing previous to that. Don't worry if what you've been doing up until now does not align with the guidelines I'm going to go through today, and just treat it as going forwards, these are now my guidelines. Because the guidelines, how many times can I say guidelines? The guidelines apply to pregnant people. So once you find out you're pregnant, that's when I would start thinking about these new guidelines. Now, when I talk about guidelines, what I'm talking about are a set of parameters, a set of guidelines that have been set by the chief medical officer, if you're in the UK. And this is based on lots and lots of research and a really collaborative approach between lots of experts that creates a set of guidelines around physical activity for the general population to use. So there are already guidelines for just the general adult population. So before you get pregnant, you might already have heard of those guidelines, you might already be aiming to meet those guidelines, you may have never heard of them, in which case don't panic. But the guidelines for pregnancy are again set by the chief medical officer, and they are adapted essentially from the adult population guidelines with just slight tweaks. So, without further ado, let's go into these guidelines. Now, when we're talking about the guidelines for physical activity during pregnancy, really what we are thinking of, again, is from once we have found out that we are pregnant onwards. So these guidelines will stay the same throughout the whole of your pregnancy. And they are designed for healthy women who are having an uncomplicated pregnancy. Now, I will talk a little bit later on about the people who may not fit directly into these guidelines, people who would maybe be considered as not having an uncomplicated pregnancy, so people who might be considered as having a health condition that means these guidelines don't apply to them. So we'll deal with those later on slightly. But for now, we're talking about healthy individuals who are having an uncomplicated pregnancy. Now, I know that in your first trimester, you may not necessarily know because you might not have seen a healthcare professional. But again, I'll talk later on because you would probably know if you had what we call a contraindication to exercising during pregnancy. And I'll discuss that later on. So the guidelines are that pregnant people should aim for at least 150 minutes of moderate intensity physical activity per week with 2 muscle strengthening sessions per week. So 150 minutes at least of moderate intensity physical activity per week, and in amongst that there should be 2 muscle strengthening sessions per week. Now, the benefits to staying active during pregnancy are so vital, are so important. Aside from the general health benefits that we would receive pre-pregnancy, there are also specific pregnancy-related health benefits as well. That includes a reduction in hypertensive disorders, improved cardiorespiratory fitness, lower gestational weight gain, and a reduction in the risk of gestational diabetes. It can also improve your sleep. It has mental health benefits like improving your mood. So aside from the fact that there are so many proven health benefits to being an active person during pregnancy, staying active will also help reduce your risk of some of the pregnancy-specific illnesses that we can develop. So with those guidelines, again, 150 minutes of moderate intensity physical activity per week, 2 muscle strengthening sessions per week. Now, that sounds really wordy, and there also might be some terms in there that you've not heard before or don't really make sense. So I want to break them down. So the first term people tend to ask me, what does that mean, is physical activity. Now, it's really important that we think about the language that we use when we're talking about moving our body. And often, and understandably, we might use different words interchangeably when we're talking about movement. Sometimes we might use the word exercise, and then another time we might use movement, we might use physical activity, we might use sport. But actually, they're all kind of different things. So when we talk about physical activity, what we're talking about is anything that uses the musculoskeletal system to increase our heart rate, to get us breathing faster, to move our body. And it can be absolutely anything. So what we're talking about with physical activity is walking the dog, having sex, cleaning your house. Physical activity is not defined by a location or a specific amount of time or by a set of rules. It is moving your body in a way that increases your heart rate, gets your body moving, challenges the body, but it can be anything. So it's actually a really inclusive term, and it can still encompass things like a Pilates class or going swimming or going to the gym, and it can also include sports. So some of the terms we're going to talk about in a minute are included in physical activity. So when we think of using the language physical activity, we can think of absolutely any activity that meets that demand, that gets the heart rate lifted, that gets you breathing faster, that gets your body moving, but it can be anything, so it is so inclusive. When we talk about something like exercise or fitness, really what we tend to be defining or talking about is something that's quite scheduled and organized. So it might be something like a Pilates class or a dance class or going to the gym, where actually it usually requires a set amount of time. Okay, so if you're going for a Pilates class, it might be 60 minutes long. There might be a cost associated to that, and you might also need to travel somewhere to go to it. So it's slightly less inclusive. And so if we start thinking about 150 minutes of activity as being specifically exercise classes or fitness classes, that can start to feel quite difficult to achieve. And definitely not as easy to achieve as if it was physical activity, which is anything that gets you moving. And then when we think about sport, really what we're talking about there is kind of a specific form of physical activity that is set by rules and it tends to be competitive, you know, so when we think of things like rugby, netball, game of squash. And so again, that usually requires you to be somewhere at a specific time. It usually requires you to travel to a location, and it requires childcare if you've got children. So now I've just kind of talked about the language, we can see how or why it's so helpful that we're talking about physical activity in these guidelines, because that might look like you wake up in the morning, you take your dog for a 30-minute dog walk. There's 30 minutes of your physical activity done. Then maybe at lunchtime you hoover the whole house and that takes you 20 minutes. That's another 20 minutes that you can put towards it. Then maybe in the evening you do go to the gym and you do an hour's workout. Well, there's 60 minutes to contribute to it. And so we can see how building up to this 150 minutes actually becomes much more achievable when we think about physical activity rather than sport or exercise classes. So that's what we mean about physical activity. Now, moderate physical activity. So that moderate part can sometimes confuse us. So when we think about physical activity, we can think about it on a kind of scale of intensity. So when we get our body moving and the heart's pumping and our breath's increasing and maybe we're getting sweaty, we can think of this sliding scale of that intensity. So let's think about zero on that sliding scale. We're going to go from 0 to 10. So at zero, we would be doing nothing. We might be sleeping or sitting on the sofa. We are essentially thinking of doing zero activity, no activity whatsoever. At the other end of the scale, let's say 10 on our scale of 0 to 10, 10 is you working at your maximum intensity. So that might be you halfway through a marathon or at the peak of your spin class. So what we've got there is this scale from 0 to 10, no activity to maximum activity. Now, moderate intensity activity would sit somewhere around a 6 or a 7. And at that intensity, you would still be able to talk. You probably wouldn't be able to sing, but you'd be able to talk, which is what we call the talk test. Or you might say that this is a bit hard, but you wouldn't be saying it was really hard. Vigorous intensity would sit further towards that kind of 9/10 scale. And for vigorous intensity activity, you wouldn't really be able to talk much. You might say a few words and then need to have a pause. So if we go back to those guidelines, we've said that we are aiming for at least 150 minutes of moderate intensity physical activity per week. So we know what moderate intensity means. It's something that's getting the heart rate lifted, but we can still talk whilst we're doing it. And we know what physical activity is. It's anything that is getting you to that moderate level. So again, it can encompass walking the dog, sex, housework, fitness classes, organized sport. It's really, really inclusive. So when we start to think of those guidelines like that, we might realize that actually we're getting a lot of that in already. Or we might hear those guidelines and think, crikey, I sit at my desk all day. Some days I barely leave the house or leave the office. I think I might need to maybe add in a 30-minute walk each day. So it's really important that you maybe think about where you're currently at compared to those guidelines and what small changes you can make. Now, in amongst those guidelines, we also had that extra bit, which is really important, which was that each week you should also try to do 2 muscle strengthening activities. Now, the reason that these are included is that often there's a real bias, I guess, towards cardiovascular exercise when we think about being fit. And personally, I think part of that is down to diet culture that teaches us that cardio is best, go hard or go home. If you're not sweating, are you even doing anything? And it really kind of puts this emphasis on cardio because a lot of diet culture tells us that exercise is about weight loss. Actually though, being functionally fit is really important. So what we actually want is we want to be strong, both cardiovascular wise, so when we're thinking about our heart and our veins and our arteries, and musculoskeletal wise, so there we're thinking about our bones and our muscles and our joints. So the reason why we must include strengthening activities is so that we are strong in both of our systems. So muscle strengthening activities would be things that put our muscles under a demand, that make our muscles stronger and load our bones, and essentially also can make our bones stronger. So that might be something as simple as carrying the shopping, but it might be weight training at the gym. It might be carrying your child. It might be doing heavy lifting around the house, as long as it's feeling safe and it feels comfortable. So muscle strengthening activities are things that challenge the musculoskeletal system. And when we think about being functionally fit, parenting is really hard work. So carrying toddlers, you know, carrying car seats, carrying buggies can be really tiring. So we want to make sure that we are fit and strong, okay? So functionally fit. So there we have it. They're the guidelines per week. Now, every activity counts and every minute counts. So let's say 1 week you only manage 130 minutes. That is still fantastic. And every minute on top of that counts. Another week you might do 160 minutes. Well, fantastic, because the guideline was at least 150 minutes. So ideally, if you're pregnant, that is what you are aiming for, okay? So they are the general guidelines. We've talked about what physical activity is, what moderate intensity activity is, and that we need to include muscle strengthening. Now, in amongst that, there's some guidelines that are relatively common sense, but it's still really important that we talk about them. With those activities, we want to be mindful of not bumping the bump. So things like contact sports, where there's an increased risk of impact to your bump, would be advised to be avoided during pregnancy. So that might be something like rugby or horse riding, where there's potentially an increased risk of you falling and bumping the bump. So don't bump the bump. Also making sure that you are staying hydrated. So it's really important that you continue to drink water during your physical activity. And what we tend to find is a really annoying pregnancy symptom that can happen really early on is an increased need to urinate. And so sometimes I find that women will cut back on water slightly because they don't want to keep needing a wee, especially if, let's say, you're going out for a 30-minute walk, you don't want to get caught short. But it is really important that you are still staying hydrated. Also, make sure that you're not getting too hot. So in the UK, recently it has been warming up. It's not, you know, the warmest country in the world, but if you know that you're going to be working out at the hottest time of the day, then maybe try and tweak it or adapt it so actually you're moving your body at a cooler time of the day, have the door open, have layers that you can remove. Essentially, just make sure that you're not getting too hot when you are moving your body. It's also worth thinking about what your activity levels were entering into pregnancy. So if you were active before you got pregnant, essentially we want you to continue how you were. So we want you to keep going. So if before you got pregnant you were a runner, then feel free to continue running. As long as it feels good for you, then it's definitely worth continuing on. If you were a swimmer before you got pregnant, then continue on for as long as that feels comfortable. Essentially, what we're saying is if you were active before, we want to try to continue as you were. We want to maintain the levels of fitness and strength that you had pre-pregnancy as you continue through your pregnancy. Now, that might mean tapering it back slightly so that you're still aiming for that moderate intensity. And it might mean that your run turns into a jog, which turns into a speed walk. But again, you're aiming to keep going. If you weren't active before pregnancy, it used to be a long time ago that you were told don't start anything new during pregnancy. But actually, we know that the benefits to starting physical activity during pregnancy are so vast that it is always worth starting to move your body. It's just a case of starting gradually. So if you weren't active before pregnancy, it might be worth starting with slightly shorter routines. So maybe you do a 20-minute Pilates class rather than an hour-long Pilates class. And as you feel more comfortable, you then start to build up. So again, think about where you were before pregnancy, and then just think about how that might affect what you're doing during pregnancy. It's also really important when we think about the intensity that we're aiming for, that moderate intensity, that what is moderate for one person might be different for somebody else. So what Serena Williams can do at a moderate intensity, which will be a lot, will be very different to what I can manage at a moderate intensity, okay? So moderate intensity is not defined by how long you do a certain exercise for, or how many reps you do. It's how it feels for you. So remember that we're all going to be different, and what Tracy down the pub can do will be very different to what you can do, but that is fine. This is about you and your pregnancy, nobody else. So there is no harm to baby. I've already mentioned that as well. So a reminder that if you are meeting those guidelines, there are lots of health benefits to you and your baby, and there is no known harm to baby for meeting these guidelines. Now, I mentioned earlier on that these guidelines are for healthy pregnant women with uncomplicated pregnancies. Now, what if you are having a complicated pregnancy? So what we call a reason why you may not meet these current guidelines, or these guidelines might not fit you perfectly, are if you have something called a contraindication to exercise or physical activity. Now, these are split into absolute contraindications and relative contraindications, okay? Now, absolute contraindications tend to be health conditions that are quite severe. You would normally know about them, but there are also lists of them. You can find the list on our website, on the Bump Plan area of the website. So you would probably already know if you had one of these health conditions. It would be something like a chronic heart disease, a severe respiratory disorder. And it would mean that usually the benefits to physical activity, meeting those guidelines, would not outweigh the potential risks of those guidelines, and so you would potentially be advised not to move your body outside of activities of daily living, okay? So if you had an absolute contraindication, you would definitely need to speak to a healthcare provider, and there is a distinct possibility that they might say to you, these guidelines are not for you, and actually we would rather that you didn't engage in physical activity, moderate to vigorous, except for activities of daily living. Relative contraindications tend to be less severe, okay? So that might be a managed respiratory disorder, something that is slightly less severe, so less severe versions or better managed versions of the absolute contraindications. And for this, for a relative contraindication, again, you would want to have a conversation with your healthcare professional to work out whether those guidelines do work for you, or whether the risks outweigh the benefits, and how they might need to be slightly adapted. So essentially, contraindications, if you have a health condition that is on that contraindication list, that would usually mean that it's not as straightforward, it's just cracking on as you did before. You need to have a really important conversation with your healthcare provider where you can discuss an activity plan together and decide what works best for the health of you and your baby. So that is something that does need to be considered, and definitely do speak to your midwife, your GP, and get to the bottom of that one if you think you have a contraindication to exercise. Again, they are listed on our website in the Bump Plan area, and I'll also link those in the show notes for you as well. So we've talked about why it's so important to stay active during pregnancy. We've talked about what the guidelines are. We've talked about some of the kind of common sense. Do listen to your body. If something does not feel right, that's usually your body's very clever way of telling you that you need to scale something back. An example that may be more common further on in your pregnancy is if you were doing something that made you leak, urine, feces, wind, some form of incontinence there, that would usually be a clue to you that you may want to think about scaling that exercise back or that activity back, because it might just be a bit too much for your pelvic floor right now. So that would be an example of where you'd be listening to your body and thinking, actually, does this feel right for me right now? Should I think about maybe tweaking this or removing it from what I currently do? But remember, with physical activity, we've got so much choice that if you suddenly find that doing jumping around, doing jumping jacks doesn't feel great for you anymore, then you could always do a lower impact jumping jack or something else instead, like squats. On that note, a question I often get asked is, can I still jump? Can I jump around? Should I be doing jumping jacks? Can I still run? Is impact okay during pregnancy? Now, again, in your first trimester, a lot of people still feel completely fine to continue on as they did pre-pregnancy. But what we might find when it comes to impact is that further on in our pregnancy, it becomes less comfortable. Maybe you find, like I did, that my chest didn't love being bounced around much. Or maybe your pelvic floor actually just can't quite cope with that increased demand, and you might notice that you're leaking. Well, that would be your cue to start reducing some of the impact back. But if you're feeling fine, there is no reason why you couldn't keep running or jogging all the way up until pregnancy, until labor, or doing regular jumping jacks all the way up until labor. At the end of the day, it's about how does it feel for you, and adapt where you feel that you need to. So they are the general guidelines, and we've talked about all of those, but how does this specifically apply to first trimester? So in your first trimester, chances are, as it was for me, symptoms will include things like nausea, potentially some pregnancy sickness, hopefully not something like hyperemesis gravidarum, but in that case, that will definitely affect how active you feel you want to be. You might feel incredibly tired. The tiredness, particularly with a toddler for me, was such a shock. I'd forgotten all about the fact that you feel absolutely wiped out in your first trimester. And for lots of women, that does tend to calm down in the second trimester. Not everybody gets that feeling of glow or, you know, finally feeling like you again. But lots of people do say that that first trimester is the hardest, or is at least a big shock. So in your first trimester, you might find that actually you just don't want to move your body. You're so exhausted that the thought of physical activity is not high on your list. First of all, that is completely understandable and fair enough. If all you want to do is lay on the sofa and watch previous episodes of Bake Off, then you do that. You do whatever makes you feel good. But what you might find is that getting out and moving your body actually does help slightly. For me, in my first trimester, I've had to keep going because physical activity, exercise, it's my business. I have to teach every week. And actually, sometimes beforehand, I really wouldn't feel up to it, but actually I felt much better afterwards. And just getting up and getting my body moving and taking my mind off it made a huge difference. So it is really worth kind of testing it and just listening to your body and seeing how it makes you feel. It might even be that you just have to adapt what you do. Maybe pre-pregnancy, you loved spinning, you were super into your cardio, but actually in your first trimester, all you want to do is stretching, or all you want to do is Pilates. Then again, remember that all activity counts. So it might be that you just don't feel active in that first trimester. Try not to put too much pressure on yourself. And mum guilt is real. So before your babies get here, try not to put any extra guilt on yourself. You're doing great. You're growing a baby. So that's the first thing to say. But if you are feeling up to staying active in your first trimester, then again, it's great to try and continue on as you were doing before, or if you weren't active before, just start easing yourself in. In that first trimester, it's a great opportunity to get your core and your pelvic floor strong. Now, we want to keep the core strong and the pelvic floor strong for the whole of pregnancy, but there's no denying that when it comes to training your core, it does get more, I don't want to say it gets harder, I don't want to say it gets trickier, but it definitely is different as our bumps grow. Logistically, it can be a bit tricky to do certain movements with a big bump in the way. So what I always say to my clients is, in that first trimester, make the most of the fact that you do not have much, if any, of a bump yet. So abdominal exercises, really key in that first trimester. Let's get that core working. And we're not just talking about doing loads of crunches. Remember that we really want the core to be very functional, and you have more muscles in your core than just your six-pack abs at the front. So what we really want to start thinking about is working that core in a really functional, dynamic way. So not just doing crunches, but maybe thinking about doing things like planks, think about side planks, think about rotation exercises, think about activating your transverse muscle, which is your corset muscle that wraps around the trunk of your core. So really important now that we get those core exercises in. Obviously I'm biased, but Pilates is really heavily into core work. That's terribly described. In Pilates, we really, really prioritize core function. So Pilates would be a really great start for getting that core strong. Also with the pelvic floor, in an ideal world, we'd all go into pregnancy with a really functional pelvic floor. But for a long time, the pelvic floor has sort of been forgotten about, slightly taboo. And so it only tends to be that once there's some sort of dysfunction there, that people start to think about their pelvic floor. And often that can happen during pregnancy or postnatally. So in an ideal world, we'd all be going into pregnancy with a nice, strong, functional pelvic floor. But in reality, that might not be the case yet. So now's the time to start including some pelvic floor exercises into your routine. Now, when it comes to pelvic floor exercises, we need to combine holds and pulses, because our pelvic floor is built up of two different types of muscle fibers, fast twitch and slow twitch. So with our pelvic floor exercises, we would want to, in a pelvic floor routine, aim for a 10 second hold. When I say 10 seconds, that's the maximum. We might only manage 3 seconds, in which case that's fine and we'll just build up. But we would aim for a hold of anywhere up to 10 seconds, and we would try and do 10 of those. And then we would do 10 fast pulses. So thinking about on, off, on, off, on, off. Now I could talk all day about the pelvic floor, and there are Education Hub videos and the bump plan, and we've got stuff on our social media all about the pelvic floor. So I won't go into too much depth, but essentially when you are trying to activate your pelvic floor, we're thinking about a squeeze and a lift. So a closing of the anus, vagina and urethra, and then a lifting of those holes, that lifting of the pelvic organs. So pelvic floor exercises, really, really important. We should also start to think about kind of engaging our postural muscles, because when we think about what happens during pregnancy, our bumps grow out the front, and that puts a huge amount of demand on the muscles in the back of the body that are trying to keep you held upright and stopping you from being pulled forwards by your bump. So exercises that activate the hamstrings, the glutes, the spine extensors are all really, really important. And again, it's hard to not be biased, but Pilates is really heavily involved and concentrating on strength and function of the body. So for me, Pilates is so incredibly powerful at getting your body ready for the demands of pregnancy and labor. So in that first trimester, again, really start to think about it as, how can I future-proof my body? How can I get it ready for what is to come whilst I don't have a huge bump or a huge uterus that is bearing down on my pelvic floor? And then when we move further on through our pregnancy, that's when we can start thinking about getting our bodies ready for labor, getting our bodies ready for the postpartum period. So that's what I would prioritize: pelvic floor exercises, core work, postural work, and making sure that you're already starting to get that cardio in, building up to those 150 minutes if you can, whilst you can, okay? Because it might be that second trimester and you start to get a bump, you find it more challenging. It might be that you get to your second trimester and actually you feel amazing. And so you don't need to worry, and actually in second trimester you feel much better than your first trimester. So I hope that helps. So I think in general, they are the things that I wanted to cover in that first trimester, and the things that kind of came up for me that I wanted to make sure that I had got my body ready for the rest of my pregnancy, because I have got the benefit of hindsight. I do know how demanding and how physically tiring it can be carrying a very heavy bump and a toddler. And I want you to know that it is really simple, actually. If we scale it back, it is that the guidelines are very similar to just the pre-pregnancy period. So we just need to make sure that we're thinking about some, you know, tweaks along the way so that we are feeling strong going into that pregnancy. We are feeling safe to move our bodies. We're not nervous. We're not fearful of movement. And we know that we are doing no harm to ourselves or our babies. We are only benefiting the health of ourselves and our babies, and hopefully making the rest of our pregnancy much easier. So have I missed anything off? This is sometimes the problem when you haven't got somebody interviewing you. You think, is there anything I have missed whatsoever? But I don't think there is, but there will always be something that I've forgotten. So do feel free to ask any questions that you might have. Get in touch over email or sign up for a 7-day free trial of the Bump Plan, where you get even more information there. Or on our Instagram page, social media accounts, there is lots of more information about how to stay active during a pregnancy. So do feel free to head there, or do always get in touch if you have a question or anything wasn't clear in this podcast. But otherwise, I hope that you found that helpful. And just remember that staying active during pregnancy does not have to be boring. And that's something that's really important for me to stress to you. It doesn't have to be that we're just sat there breathing, closing our eyes, or just doing gentle stretching. Staying active during pregnancy can be really powerful and empowering and fun. We just need to find the right outlets, do the things that you enjoy, and try to enjoy it. Don't see it as something that you now have to do to look a certain way. Pregnancy is a great time to actually start thinking about what physical activity you enjoy rather than what should you be doing. So I hope that's helpful, and do get in touch if you have any questions. But otherwise, have a lovely, amazing active pregnancy. I'll be back for a bonus episode for all about trimester two, how to stay active in trimester two in a good few weeks. But otherwise, I'll see you again soon. Bye. Firstly, thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this episode of Bun in the Oven, and I hope you found it helpful. For more support, do head to the show notes below to find links and supplementary reading you feel may be helpful to you. Secondly, this podcast can only help those who know about it. If you enjoyed this episode, it would mean so much if you could subscribe to Bun in the Oven and give us a 5-star rating. While podcasts are easy to listen to, they take a lot of effort to create, and your support in sharing Bun in the Oven will help me encourage more guests to join me for future episodes. Thank you so much for listening today, and enjoy the rest of your day.